my fearing whiskers. I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late.
Am I late? I can't be late. I just can't be late because it's a very important date. It's Easter. And we know that Happy Life Studios is the official podcast of the holidays. And Easter is a big one. So I just can't be late. Kind of reminds me of a joke about a priest and a politician. A priest and a politician walk into a bar. No, that's not it. But doesn't that sound like it should start off that way? There has to be a bunch of a priest and a politician walk into a bar. It just sounds like a joke just waiting to happen. There's got to be tons of those out there. Anyway, it's not about a priest and a politician walking into a bar. But I want to share it anyway because it's about being late and the importance of not being late. But also, since in America we are starting up, the political race is really starting to ramp up. I thought it's also fitting for the politician side of things. And then the priest side of things, it's Easter time. So we got Easter, we've got politics, being late, official podcast of the holidays. I think that this joke fits in perfectly. It's about a priest who is being honored at his retirement dinner after being in the parish for 25 years. A leading local politician and member of the congregation was chosen to make the presentation and to give a little speech at the dinner. Unfortunately, the politician was delayed, and the crowd was getting antsy. So the priest decided to step up and say a few words and stall, so he'd say a few of his own words while they waited for the politician to arrive. He said, "I got my first impression of the parish from the first confession I ever heard here, and I thought I had been assigned to the worst place on earth, to a terrible place. I mean, the very first person who entered my confessional told me he had stolen a television set and, when questioned by the authorities, by the police, was able to lie his way out of it. He had stolen money from his parents, embezzled from his employer, had an affair with his boss's wife, taken illegal drugs, and on and on and on he went. I was appalled," the priest said. "But as the days went on, I learned that my people were not all like that, and I had indeed come to a fine parish full of good and loving people." Just as the priest finished his talk, the politician arrived, bursting through the back doors. They invited him up to the front, and after giving all of his apologies for being late, he started his talk. "I'll never forget the first day our parish priest arrived," said the politician. "In fact, I had the honor of being the very first person to ever go to him for confession." So, I may be late for Easter, but I do have a good reason for it.
Upper show you how to operate in a spirit.
This is Happy Life Studios.
This message is for you. This message is singular to you. It's not for anybody else. It's not hard to get. It's not hard to understand.
Now that's a great question.
Does your sun set high? Does your sun set high?
Welcome to Happy Life Studios.
Hey, are you happy? If not, then why? If not, then why?
We're here to help your life be happier.
What's up, Happy Lifer? Thanks for joining us today. I am so happy you did. And happy Easter. Okay, so I may be late for Easter, but in my own defense, being the official podcast of the holidays, Easter Monday is actually a holiday in many countries. So with that going for me, I guess I got a little bit of an excuse. But secondly, and most importantly, there is a reason why I am late. I mean, there's always the reason of the holiday was on a Sunday. We put out our podcast on Mondays. And so oftentimes, when we celebrate the holidays, we'll do it the day after or the Monday before the holiday happens, if it doesn't actually happen on Monday. Fortunately for us, most holidays, at least in America, it seems like, all fall on Mondays, which is great. It gives us a long weekend, right? But even if Easter didn't happen on Sunday. If Easter happened on Monday, I would want to post this podcast on Tuesday because I have a reason. But before I get to that reason, I'd like to give you a quote that fits my heart perfectly. I couldn't have said it better than this guy. Quote, I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind, end quote. Like I said, that's not my quote, but it is my heart. It is my desire. And we'll get back to that quote in just a bit here. But it is my hope and desire that you too make me completely happy. And not just me. This is also Jesus's desire. And since Easter is all about his death and his life, I want to talk about him for a while because this is an Easter podcast. So I want to talk about the person who Easter is about. And in fact, if you were to finish that quote, which we do in a little bit, if you go on with that quote I just read, you'll see that it is also about Jesus's death. And that's what Easter is all about Jesus's death and resurrection. But let's talk about his life first, because his life was unbelievable. He changed the world. So after all that he did, I'm surprised that he doesn't make more leadership conferences, us talking about Jesus as a leader, because he was an incredible leader and incredible human. So back in the day when my wife and I were first married, I had this desire to be this incredible human, this incredible leader. I wanted to be the best I could be, and leadership was part of that because of my job, because of my career. So I wanted to be this incredible leader. So my wife and I attended this leadership conference, which really was online. It was streamed all over the world. And so because of that, this person who put this leadership conference on was able to bring in all these amazing leaders from all around the world. And we got to sit and listen to all of them talk. It was pretty cool. It was like a day-long event. Might have been 2 days. I can't remember. But there was a lot of leaders on there. When the person who put the whole conference on got up to speak, he started pulling out the books of all these great leaders. And they were all basically the same title. 3 steps to this, 4 ways to this, the 12 best qualities of a leader, the 2 things a leader will never do, the 7 things a leader must become. And after a while, I just got overwhelmed. There was so much good information, but it was too much information for my brain to take all in. The more this guy talked that was running the conference, he was a keynote speaker now. He was wrapping the entire conference up. The more he talked, the more discouraged I got. The more I felt like, I can't be a leader. There's way too many things. I can't even handle the 7 steps of this. How am I going to get the 3 paths of that and the 2 ways to do this? I mean, there's no way I can put all that in my head. There's no way I can accomplish all that. And being a young man, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to get it all done. I wanted to, you know, mark it all off my list. I did the 12 things and I did the 7 things and I did the, right? And when I'm listening to this guy speak, I'm like, there's no way on earth I can do that. I just don't know if I can be a good leader. Honestly, I was like, that I can't do it. And then it all changed. Brilliantly, this speaker pulls out one book and he started talking about Jesus. And he said this, all those things, all these leadership books all fit in this one book called the Bible. And he talked about how when a person came to try to trick Jesus, He was asking him a question. There's no way Jesus could answer it and get away with it because people were out to get him. In fact, the person who I read that quote from in the very beginning, when he wrote that quote, he was in prison. He too believed in God and was trying to follow God. But it was other God followers that were trashing him while he was in prison. That's why he said, listen, I want you to make me completely happy by having this heart and mind where you're all on the same page. But he was being trashed and attacked. And Jesus was being put in the same position here when he was asked this question for the purpose of tricking him into making a statement. Just like the political races today, honestly. Like the one side will ask a question to this person to get them to say what they want them to say so then they can use that against them. And you can hardly win in that situation. But Jesus pulled it off. I mean, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? I mean, when you look at the size of the Bible and all the commands it has, it's like all those leadership books. If you were to take all the 20,100,000 things that they said you needed to become, 13 steps here, 7 reasons here, and then ask somebody, what is the best one out of all those? What's the most important one? How do you answer that question, right? Well, that's what they asked Jesus. They're trying to trick him. And they said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied with this. He was such an incredible human and such a credible leader. He changed the world. But how he did it was what is so amazing. He replied with, love God with your heart, soul, and mind. Just love God with everything you got. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said this. He said, everything else hinges on those two commands right there. And then the keynote speaker said this. He said, all these things that say to be a leader, the 13 steps, the 7 steps, the 12 reasons, all these numbers, all these things that are said to be a good leader, they too also hinge on these two things. If you will just love God and then love others like you love yourself, so that means you have to love God with everything you got, then you have to love others and you have to love yourself as well. He basically said, if you do those things, you'll become all these other things. And I went, now that I can do. That simplifies it down. That's the chocolate chip in the scone that we talked about, those incredible chocolate chip scones from Sun Oven Bakery in Ojai, California. But that's the chocolate chip. That was Jesus' chocolate chip. If you just love God and you love others like you love yourself, you become an incredible human being. You become an incredible leader. So here's the reason why am I being late fits in perfectly right here. Because Easter, just like Christmas, is all about the afterwards. It's not about the day. Yeah, celebrate Christmas. Yeah, celebrate Easter. Even Veterans Day, Memorial Day. You look at our holidays, we celebrate those days, but then we tend to forget what those days are all about. I imagine any veteran you talk to is going to say, yeah, I appreciate you celebrating me on Veterans Day, but it would be that veteran's desire is that you honor veterans all year long. And man, we love to make the big pomp and circumstance. We love to make the big, you know, we love the Easter lilies and we love the Easter outfits and the Easter hats and the Easter services. And we love to make a big deal out of it. But the real deal out of Easter is the afterwards. Let me finish the quote I started with earlier. It was written in a letter to a bunch of people in Philippi. It was a letter to the Philippians from a guy by the name of Paul of Tarsus. Quote, I urge you to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interest, not just your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the very nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death. His death on the cross, end quote. Paul here is saying, I want you to make me completely happy. And he's in prison, like I said, when he's writing this, when he's saying this, when he's sending this letter out. And then he talks about the attitude of who Jesus was. Jesus was the Son of God, and yet he served other people. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus, Paul said, had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that he should force his way. But instead, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. That's the life of Jesus that makes the death of Jesus so amazing. And if Jesus were here in our studio right now that I could interview, he'd tell you that Easter's not about the big event. It's not about the big day. It's not about the lilies, and it's not about the hats, and Christmas isn't about the tree, and it's not about all the presents, even though those are great things to have and fun things to celebrate. But for God, he wants us to live that out. I mean, all the songs and all the quotes and sayings that we have about, even about Christmas, because Christmas is such a wonderful time of the year, the most wonderful time of the year, the song says, You know, we want to make it last all year long. And so this, in the spirit of Christmas, we want to live Christmas out all year long. Easter is the same way. Paul said, I want you to make me completely happy by having the same heart and mind, by loving each other. Jesus served other people. He had this attitude of humility. He changed the world. Like I said, it's how he changed the world. He changed the world through humility. He changed the world by not forcing his way. And man, you look at politics, we've got people hating each other and jumping down each other's throats and trying to pin each other as to belonging to this side or belonging to that side. And Paul is simply saying, don't do that. Be like Jesus was. And Jesus would say the same thing. He would say, I want you to make me happy by serving each other. Like, I don't know if you have kids or not, but if you have kids and you've ever left them alone, or the first time, you know, when they were older and you and your spouse were leaving, the first time you ever had to leave your kids alone for an extended amount of time, they're old enough now, they're mature enough, at least you thought they were, but you maybe weren't quite sure, you know, but you decided to leave them in charge of the castle, so to speak. And for days, maybe even weeks, you're giving them all this information. Like the 13 steps to this and the 7 steps to that and the 2 ways of this, right? You're almost overwhelming them with all this information you're giving them. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. Don't do this. Make sure you don't do this. Don't have any parties. Make sure you feed the cat. Make sure you do your homework. Make sure you get to, you know, on time. Make sure you eat your healthy meals. Don't eat too much sugar, too much junk. Don't let so-and-so come over to the house. Make sure you mow the lawn. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. Wow. At some point, how in the world are they going to do all that? But as you're pulling out of the driveway and your kids are waving goodbye to you, and then you stop and you roll down your window, and they come up to the window, that's the one thing that's the most important to you. It's the last thing that you want to tell them. Of all the things that you've told them, it's like of all the 13 steps, 7 steps, 12 reasons, all that stuff, it comes down to these 3 things. Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? You could say that's 2 things, but loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Basically, Jesus, when he was asked that question, wrapped all those commandments up into those 2. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. In the same way, when you're pulling out and you're apprehensive and you hope your kids are going to be good and they're going to follow all the commands you've given them, follow all the desires you've given them, all the rules that you've given them. But as you pull out, you roll down the window and you say that one last sentence. That is the most important sentence. That's the one that you want them to focus on more than anything else. As you're pulling out, you might want to roll down the window and they come up to the car. What, Dad? What? Don't forget you need to lock the doors at night. Or don't forget to feed your sister. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's that last thing. Well, Jesus, as he was pulling out of the driveway, not literally, he didn't have a car, didn't have a driveway, right? In fact, they didn't have paved roads. The roads were dirt and people wore sandals. And so whenever they would walk into a house, their feet were just filthy. So there's usually a basin of water there. And sometimes a servant would wash your feet or you'd wash your own feet. But before you walked into the house with all that dirt on your from your open sandals from walking on a dirt road, right, you get dirty. So you wash off your feet so you don't drag all that junk through the house. So Jesus didn't have a driveway that he was backing out of. It was a dirt road and he had sandals. But as he was figuratively getting ready to leave the world, for 3 years, he'd been telling his disciples all these things they need to do, all these things they need to try. Don't forget this. Don't forget that. You know, all these things. But as he's pulling out of the driveway, one of the last things he says, and while he's saying that, he's washing their feet. That's something that you would do yourself when you walk into a house. Or maybe he had servants that would wash your feet for you. But the owner of the house would never do that for you. That was a very humbling thing. And as Jesus is getting ready to back out of this world, he's at the Last Supper. He hasn't been betrayed yet. The torture hasn't started yet. The path to the cross hasn't started yet. He's eating a leisurely meal. At least for the disciples, it was leisurely. But in his mind, he knew what was coming next. And as he's having that Last Supper with his disciples, he grabs a towel, wraps around his waist, grabs the bowl of water and starts washing his disciples' feet, who they were taken back by him because he was their leader. They look up to him. Don't wash my feet. Don't you wash my feet. That's humbling for me, let alone humbling for you. You're above this. But Jesus, that's what Paul was saying in that quote. He took on the nature. He became a servant. And as he is serving them, I'm getting a long time to get to the point here, but it's important that I set this all up. As he's washing their feet, which is one of the most humbling things you could do, especially as a leader, especially as a person who's going to change the world. As he's washing their feet, the last thing he says to them as he figuratively rolls down that window as he's backing out of the driveway, as he is washing their feet and they're humbled by the fact that their leader is washing their feet, this is what he said. He said the same thing basically that Paul said when Paul said, I want you to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or a cheap desire to boast, Paul says, but be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves, and look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. Jesus basically said the same thing. As he's washing their feet, he rolls down the window, basically. Backing out of the driveway of life, he stops as he's washing their feet, and he says, I want you to love each other like I'm loving you. I want you to love each other like I'm loving you. Make me happy, he's saying, by loving each other. He didn't mention Easter lilies. He didn't mention Easter dresses or hats. He didn't mention a big service on Christmas or whatever. He didn't mention all the hoopla of all the, and I'm sure he appreciates it when we celebrate him, but it doesn't do any good to celebrate him if we don't live it out the next day. That's why this podcast is late a day. And maybe you even listen to it days later, which is even better. Because it's important that we remember Easter is over, but it's not. The whole point of Easter is that we would love one another like Jesus loved us. That we would serve one another like Jesus served us. Imagine, like I said, if that was our chocolate chips in our scone. Serve one another like Jesus did for us. Love one another like Jesus did for us. Don't step on the backs of other people. Serve them instead. Jesus changed the world by serving people, by loving people. And we will change our worlds too if we decide to make those the chocolate chips in our scones. If we will just serve and love each other and stop trying to get ahead of other people, but instead focus on loving other people, making God completely happy by loving others as he loved us. Happy Easter. Happy day after Easter. Happy week after Easter. Happy months after Easter. Happy life after Easter.
Someone happy, make just one someone happy, and you will be happy too.
I hope that helps. I hope that made sense. Thanks for listening. It sure means a lot to us.
And you will be happy.
Remember, life isn't perfect, but that doesn't mean it can't be happy.
D-Base.
So find somebody to love. It's not too late. It's an important date.